August 13, 2021, it's the Watt for Pedro Show.
night just to kiss your lips.
For Pedro Show, happy Friday. Started off with John Coltrane, takes 4 and 5, Alabama. See, John Coltrane sometimes had to take more than one take, people. That should instill some confidence. And then we had the AME, or is it AMA? Is it an acronym? I don't know, but our guests can enlighten us, because that tune's 16 years with a very interesting spelling. Wonders of the Skype software engineers from Estonia. I got Brother Matt Starr. Welcome aboard, Brother Matt.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So how do you pronounce this band name?
So the name of the band was the Automatic Music Explosion.
Okay, it was acronym.
Yeah, so as you can see, it got tiring saying that over and over again, so we shortened it to the AME.
AME. It means rain, right, Japanese? AME.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly. You know. Okay. Interesting journey through music. I first got to play with you at a bowling alley in Hollywood, right?
Yes. Yes, we did.
That was bitching. I dug it with Brother Alex. And but I want to go before that. Okay. In fact, I want you to bring us your earliest musical memory, please, Brother Matt.
Yeah. So 7, 8 years old, growing up in a town called Rocky Hill, Connecticut. Very small town. Had about 400 people in our high school. And kid up the street from me was named Scott Gabala. And Scott Gabala and his brother Paul smoked cigarettes and had long hair and had a comb in his back pocket. So he was like the cool, you know where I'm going. So yeah, he was the cool kid, and they had the good records. And so I went up there and threw them. First thing I discovered was Kiss, and and then they turned me on to Cheap Trick. And
I saw Kiss. Well, we did, me, B, Boone, maybe 3-4 times before they even had an album out. They would open up for anyone. I saw them with Wishbone Ash, Savoy Brown, the Five Man James Gang, you name it. I mean, I remember when the record came out, it was so slow for what we were used to, you know?
Sure.
Kind of careful. So it's Cheap Trick. In fact, first
time,
they were kind of championed by those guys, right?
Yeah, like they were, you know, Kiss brought them out. Like 76, 77, you know, kind of bringing them around. So, but that was the first thing, album called Kiss Alive 2, and I opened it up, and there was just fire and blood and sparks and rock and roll and dudes pointing at me, and I just thought, like, I don't even know what this thing is, but I got a feeling from it that I never had had before, and I have never had it since.
Well, let me ask you, this pad in this little Connecticut town that you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
We had, we always had a piano in the house. Nobody knew how to play it, but we had one in the house.
Did you ever jump on it? Did you ever jump? Because, you know, in the old days, Brother Matt, piano used to be in the rhythm section with me and you.
Right, right. And
so
sometimes
was the guitar
even. Sometimes without me and you. You know what I mean? They just, depending on the budget, they just brought the piano.
Right, because it would be very percussive, right?
Yeah.
Also,
so
the
fucking
horns and the strings were just so fucking loud, right?
Yeah, exactly. Whizzing over top everything. So yeah, I mean, I had instruments around. With, like I said, we had the piano, and then in school we had school band. So that was there.
So you were in the band. Were you in the marching band?
I was in the. We didn't even get to marching. I only lasted a little bit.
Okay.
So it was sixth grade, and I asked my mom to get me a guitar out of the JCPenney catalog, which is like, you know, the analog version of Amazon, right?
In the old days.
Yeah, and that
the
was for Christmas.
Monkey Ward, Sears, all that stuff. Yeah.
All of it, you know what I mean? And Silvertones were in there and all
right,
that shit.
Right,
so,
yeah.
But like, you know, so I didn't end up getting a guitar for Christmas. And so then I really wanted to play something. And my mom was like, why don't you try drums? And I was like, all right, you know. So I was in school
band.
Your mom's
idea. I think you're the first dude on the show in 20 years of doing it where the ma says, I want you on drums.
She had no idea what she was getting into. I think she thought a pair of drumsticks is cheaper than a guitar. But, you know, there's a lot more to it, as we know.
Yeah, you know about trap set, right, where that word comes from.
I don't believe I do. Tell me.
You know, they were invented, it's only like 120 years old, right out of New Orleans.
Right.
Of course, Watt had to be hip to this from another drummer man, but contraption.
Yes, yes. Well, and the way that the whole thing came together, it's like, dude had a kick drum, okay, cool. And then someone goes to China and comes back
right,
with some
gongs and toms.
They put that on. Gongs, and then the tom and comes right. back with this little bongo from Bangladesh, right. and they put that on there. Yeah, so it's a real international concept, the drum set, you know.
So you start off with sticks.
Sticks, and they got me a pad. I had a practice pad.
Uh-huh.
So, like, but they put me in band, and what they did is, if I was a band teacher, I would say, hey, look, these are the drums. I'm going to leave the room. You guys hit everything as hard as you can for 15 minutes and get it out of your system, because they never let. So they go, okay, Matt, you're on the snare drum. George, you know, you're on the bass drum. This guy, you take the cymbals. Okay, now don't do anything, and I'm going to work with the flutes. And then I'm going to work with the trumpets. So where's you got, like, you know, 4 sixth-grade boys stand in the back of the room with sticks, drums, tell us not to hit it, and be quiet for 30 minutes? It's like, come on, that's not going to go well.
Get me a shovel.
So that was it, man. I did that for a few weeks. I just got sick of getting in trouble, and really I wanted to play, and like we weren't actually able to play.
Yeah,
so you know, I started taking lessons from a guy named Mike Duquette, who was a jazz cat.
Yeah.
And you know, he would show me that whole trip, and like, again, I was listening to, at that point, like AC/DC, Cheap Trick, Aerosmith, Kiss, all that classic rock. Maybe Iron Maiden was creeping in there. Blue Oyster Cult, Some Enchanted Evening, which I know we share a mutual love for that record.
I didn't know that one so much, but I know On Your Feet or On Your Knees.
Mm-hmm.
Every fucking note. The first the one I really dig is Tyranny Mutation, the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Me and D. Boone, I know every fucking note on that thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. so there's a disconnect between what your teacher's into and what you are listening to.
Exactly, exactly. So I couldn't put it like this guy was wearing, like, he looked good. He had a suit on, and I'm like, okay, but, you know, where's the platform shoes? We're like, I couldn't make the connection. And I wish he had made the connection. I wish he had explained, like, look, man, when you listen to a rock shuffle, it's this. And this came out in, like, you know, the 30s, you know, and then it evolved. Like, if he had given me a little history and context, I think I would have stuck with it. But I was like, nah, I'm just going to teach myself how to play Shot at the Devil by Motley Crue. I was going to go that route. So, but that's what I did. Tommy Lee.
Perk worked for him. You know, because Tommy wanted to rap and play guitar, so Perk was brought in on drums.
Mm-hmm.
Perk told me once they were on tour in England. And, yeah, they're going by Stone Age, so I asked the bus driver to pull over, him and Sin go down there. And they hear this voice from the top of a hill. It's just a pile of rocks! Anyway, he was very kind to me when I met him. I forgot to ask you, first record you bought with your own money?
Kiss Alive 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Later on, you found out about the first Kiss Alive.
Yeah, right. And
more
that's
muddy,
like,
right? I thought it was so muddy. God.
But yeah,
It's got good energy.
The energy is great. They captured, you know, he captured something great on that album. But yeah, but I was pissed because I told my buddy, I'm going in to get this record. And he goes, oh, can you get me one? I go, okay. So I buy two copies. Now, it comes with a booklet and tattoos, as Kiss albums often do. I get home, next day I go to his house, he's got this tattoo on his arm, I go, well, where'd you get that? He goes, it was in the record. I go, what? I go back home, no tattoos on my record. So, like, I'm still sore about that shit, and every day I go over and go, hey, man, can I get one of those tattoos? Oh, I don't know, I think I really like this. Ah, Jesus Christ. So, anyway,
And the first gig you saw?
Again, Kiss, 1979.
Whoa, okay. Last time I saw him was 76. It was the only time I saw him was they had a record. I think it was at the Forum. Maybe, God, I can't remember who opened up, but I remember there was Lunch Pails and shit. It was that era. Destroyer, maybe it's Destroyer or something.
Yeah, I think it would have been 77, and that's at the Forum is where they recorded Kiss Alive 2. So kind of where you left off, I was just getting started.
You might be hearing me and D. Boone somewhere there.
Hell yeah, I hope so. I'm going to go back and listen.
Look, I want to play this Beautiful Creatures you sent me.
Sure.
Light my cigarette. It's getting hot here. We're going faster. Don't hit the red light.
Can you tell me what you're Made me whole. Thank you.
Rock for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Beautiful Creatures doing Anyone. That's pretty optimistic. Bronze Age UFO from Baltimore after that with Part A6 is their Lagoon Monster Rubber Mask Volume 2 cassette. Then we had Hacked Pizzicato out of Berlin, Evermore, brand new. The Threshing Floor. This is a proj. I think it's some of the cats from Wolf Eyes. And it's eponymous, right? The Threshing Floor is the name of the tune. Bombus Prennan after that, The Rapist Therapist. These guys, like 5,000-6,000 songs recorded, 40 years, maybe 5 gigs. But they're still going. Shows to go, you people. If Bawana after that, Al Margolis, incredible. Chester, New York. Fish Tales from the Bible. And finally, Ace Frehley. This is from you, Matt. Space Invader.
Yeah.
Not good one. Not plural, not the game, but the man.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And he always had.
Singular.
He had the best character, even though the other cat was on base and Starman. Actually, Starman had like a burglar mask at first.
Yes. Yeah. back when you saw him, and were those shows in Long Beach?
The Long Beach. Long Beach Arena, and mm-hmm. some of them went over live on the air at KNAC,
so yes.
we could record them and then listen to them at work. I had to fold papers and shit. That's how I got my first bass. You know, a couple of years I played a guitar with 4 strings. I didn't know bass had bigger strings.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Gene Simmons. And I told him I learned some stuff from him, and he was really humbled by it. No, man, John Entwistle was a real bass player. I said, well, I learned some stuff. And it was interesting because people told me he wasn't really like that with them. But
Right.
Back to your story, though. So what about not after school, like graduating, but after school in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Bedroom band, basement band, garage band. I mean, you must have graduated from practice pad to trap kit, right?
So finally got a kit together and didn't have a floor tom, but that didn't stop me. And so I would just get home from school, grab a handful of cookies and run upstairs and put on my record player. I had the speakers right behind my head and just open all the windows so everybody could hear and just wail away. And so one day my mom comes up, she goes, hey, there's a couple kids here to see you. And I go, okay. So this kid who had been like, he was a black, it was in sixth grade, no joke, he was a black belt in karate, and he was just a terror. And he was like always fucking with me. And so now this dude's standing in my fucking room, and I'm like, he's going to kill me. And he had since started playing guitar, him and his buddy, and they're like, hey, man, we hear you playing every day, sound really good, do you want to, you know, join our band?
Whoa.
And I was like, yeah, sure. So they're like, all right, cool. We'll rehearse, you know, a couple days. And that was the beginning of that. So, like, that was it.
The guy,
you know,
bullying you wants you in the band.
Right.
You know, I read about Pete Townsend saying the same thing about Roger Daltrey.
Huh.
You know, it was Roger's gang, right? And so it's like, yeah, yeah. We're in Roger's gang.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Now, were you guys copying songs off of records like me and D-Boone?
Exactly, yeah. So we're doing all kinds of, you know, at that point would have been like 83-ish, maybe a little early. So, yeah, you know, some classic rock, Van Halen's in there, of course, and then some of the 80s stuff that was going on. God, what were we doing? You know, Judas Priest. And
I saw their first gig at the Whiskey. I mean, not first gig ever, but U.S. thing. Yeah, can you imagine? And that singer, man, oh, my God. It was so trippy, too, because, like, Gary Valentine opened up the stiletto, you know, Blondie bass player. And those
right.
days you'd have trippy things. Now, did this band do gigs, or is it just a practice band?
So, you know, we did one actual, like, professional gig where we got paid, so our singer's brother was a bouncer at a place called the Twilight Room, and it was like a dance club. But he goes, I got you guys a gig on Friday night. You guys playing at 10:30. So we're like, all right. So we're in there in our spandex and everything, and we're like hanging out, and they're dancing. And we got all our gear, and we're like, where are we going to play? I mean, we don't even know where power is. Like, we didn't know anything. And all of a sudden, he goes, okay, go up, start setting up. And we're like, where? He goes, just on the dance floor. So we're just like moving these adults, you know, because we're, you know, we're like 15, 14 years old, moving these adults out of the way and setting up. When I look back and I go, I bet you he said he was going to get us a gig and he couldn't. And then he was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to tell him to go in there and set up my boss. But we got paid $100 and we did some tunes, you know, went through our repertoire. And that was it. But, you know, so again, that's like teen years. Other than that, we were doing variety shows and there was a thing called the Italian Festival in Hartford. And I'll say we did win a church sponsored Battle of the Bands by playing Judas Priest, Another Thing Coming, and a song by Twisted Sister called SMF, which stands for Sick Motherfucker. And we won and we were like, man, they had no idea, but they're like, you boys really got the crowd into it. So there you go.
I remember a pad near Hartford, Anthrax? Hardcore?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, oh
and,
yeah.
In the old days, Hartford was like the insurance capital. I think it's Des Moines now, but... And then I remember New Haven had a pad called Toads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Connecticut, and that's still there. I-95, is it still there? Yeah, I-95 and Thurston's from there, you know, two of the Blue Oyster Cult guys live there.
Mm-hmm.
Or one, Joe, and two of the Alice Coopers, the drummer and the bass, Dennis and Neil.
Yes.
And also the singer, Mata Hoop. So what about after high school? Do you pursue higher education? Well, you gave up on academic music, right? It's all self-taught after that experience earlier.
Yeah, you know, in the ninth grade, you go to see the guidance counselor, and she's trying to hand me brochures. And I said, you know, I just want to play music. And she goes, well, this school has music. I said, do I also have to do math? She's like, well, yeah. I go, no, I don't want to do it. I just want to do music. And she wanted me to go to the Army. She's, you know, well, they have a band. I said, look. And so by like 11th grade, I'd come and she'd go, hi, oh, Matt, are you still doing the music? I said, okay, you're all set. So she just like stopped bothering me. But yeah, so I just was playing in regional bands. Like, so we started, you know, eventually start playing clubs when I'm like 18, 19, playing in bars, drinking age 21. And then there was a band called Run 21, which was a regional band. So now we're like traveling into other states and starting to like push it out, you know, staying overnight, going into new towns, having to win over the crowd, you know, all that stuff. So that was like, that was an education there, you know.
Right, and we're talking, when you say regional, New England.
New England, yeah, right. So, yeah, Connecticut, we'd get into New York, we'd go to Vermont, maybe Pennsylvania, up to Boston, New Hampshire, all that stuff.
Okay. But you don't stay in Connecticut.
No, so I end up ultimately going to L.A., and, you know, I sing too. So like that band, the Automatic Music Explosion, that's me singing. I wrote the songs, fronting the band. So I was going back and forth between singing and drumming, and I had it in my head like I had to pick one, which I don't know why I thought I had to. But so I would spend a number of years singing, then I'd go back to drums, go back. I mean, it's all good, but I probably wasted a lot of time. You know what I mean?
Well, why didn't you do a Rob Henley thing? Not Rob Henley, Don Henley. Rob Henley was that Darby Crash's guy, right? But Don Henley, why didn't you do like a drummer-singer thing?
You know, I thought of Don, and I thought of Phil Collins, and I'm like, they're
also
super talented.
Also the Cat in Rare Earth. I think Motown's only white band.
Yes, yeah, I just want to celebrate.
Right.
Hell
a lot
yeah.
Of cowbell,
yeah.
A lot of cowbell. I think they had a guy that played cowbell the whole set. His hand must have been like throbbing like a motherfucker.
That's a serious gig. Anytime I got to do ham percussion on a record, man, I'm like, how long is this song? Please let it be like three minutes.
Imagine,
you know,
the whole fucking set, right? Especially those days, right? A couple of hours. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. August 13, 2021 edition. Wat Pedros, a special guest, Matt Starr. Hold tight for hour two. August 13, 2021. It's the second hour of Wat for Pedros show.
Talking about black left knees. A We're in a dirty room, silver coke spoon. Give me my release. Back Afghani, it's got you weak in the knee. Some seeds and dust, you got bust on. Well, it will sure slap you down. You take a greasy heart, roll in the asphalt, get your head spinning round. You're out on the road. Well, there's a new power code. Take some urban noise, urban poison. Gonna listen to
Walk for Pedro show start off the second hour. Great tune. 30 Days in the Hole. This is Ace Frehley with Robin Zander, the cheap trick singer. And then, and then we got what? The Black Gang. This is Nels Klein on guitar, Bob Lee on the drums, and I think it was called the Saint No Picnic Festival 1999. We did our version of 30 Days in the Hole, so I thought we could put a ass to mouth. Or mouth to ass right there.
60 days in a hole now.
60, that's what they give you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then King Champion Sounds out of Holland with One Man Poem. That's a great title. King Woman after that, Candescent Soul, Midwife, Promise Ring, brand new. And then Ace Frehley with Never in My Life. And, okay, so the MA, the acronym band, was that a West Coast or East Coast?
So that was a West Coast band, and we ended up recording. It's funny how things bring you back, you know. So that was a West Coast band, and my idea was, like, I wanted to do – I never – like, there was always this thread to me that was, like, it ran through, like, the Trogs into, like, you know, the Raspberries into, like, the Ramones, and then Kiss had some of it, and Motley Crue and Cheap Trick. And I couldn't put my finger on it. And these kids that I was producing, they're like 18. They go, you ever hear this song called Yummy Yummy? And I said, no. And it goes, it's the Ohio Express, and they played it for me. And I was like, this is it. This is like ground zero. And I'd never heard of bubblegum. And I'm like, this is it. Like, these nursery rhyme melodies, these very simple lyrics, but if you're an adult, they're very dirty, but if you're a kid, they just seem like they're singing about candy or something. And I was like, this is the thread that I hear. I hear this in Nirvana. I hear this in Cheap Trick. I hear this in, you know, the Ramones. I hear this in the Raspberries. It's almost that sing-songy kind of simple melody, repetitive. And so I was like, I want to do a modern Archie's where there's a female in the band and, like, everyone's different. That's the image. It's not like the Ramones where everyone's the same. Like, everyone's got a really different image. So that's what happened. And when I'd done the demo myself, and then I said, we need a producer, and just kind of realized that Mike Chapman would be the perfect guy. So he'd, you know, produce the Sweet and Susie Quattro.
I was going to ask you about Little Willie.
Yeah.
And then that was something called glam, right? Like me and D Boone's first gig was T-Rex, and they weren't very big in the U.S., but in England they were fucking huge.
Huge, yeah. So that glam thing was part of that whole thing. And Mike was also a writer, so a lot of, like, Ballroom Blitz and all, he wrote stuff too. Sure. You know, so, and he had done Get the Knack, you know, My Sharona and Heart of Glass, Blondie. So I was like, this guy is the perfect.
That drummer man,
Clem.
No. Not Blondie
Bruce.
Bruce Gary.
Yeah.
That's how Jesus. I got to play the fucking Cream bass. Jack Bruce's Cream bass. He had it.
Oh, really?
Because he did all kinds of shit. He did fucking prog and fusion and shit before Knack.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harvey Kubernick took me to his pad in the Val and brought out the, you know, I had to watch his VHS of him with, great musicians, Mick Taylor and but. It was a mess, right? It was a bad time for those guys, Jack Bruce. And he stole him in that Cream bass for $1,000 and a Chapman stick.
Jesus
and
Christ.
And I got to play it for 2 hours, not through an amplifier, but I shit thee not, Brother Matt. And then he's really kind, and cancer got him. It's terrible. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the AME doesn't last long.
Now we did a few year run, but we ended up, you know, I was like, we got to find a producer. So I find Chapman. I can't find him. He hasn't made a record in like 20 years. Ends up that he literally is down the street from the house my dad grew up in Easton, Connecticut.
Wow.
So like the full circle, and I'm back. And so when I realized, I go, you live next to the petting zoo and the place that has all the flowers. He goes, yeah, you know that? I go, yeah, my grandma used to take me there when I was a kid. So it's just a weird thing, you know, and just come back around. But we did a record with him. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. And but, you know, ran it up the flagpole, and it just stalled. And then I ended up going back to drumming. And so this is when I got clear. Like, I was like, you know what? What's the best thing I do? Because I'm kind of getting tired of, like, trying. And I really want to, I guess, have more success. You know, it kind of felt weird to say that because as musicians, we're not supposed to talk about that. But I was like, oh, man, you know, That's what I wanted. So I said, well, look, if I got in a room with Jimmy Page and he said, you can sing or you can play drums, what do you want to do? I would play drums. And that's when I went back to drumming. And, you know, within like 9 months, I had gotten the Ace Frehley gig. And then, like, turns out, oh, by the way, we need a guy who can sing all the Paul Stanley songs, because when we do some of the old Kiss songs, Ace doesn't sing those, so can you sing that? I'm like, fuck yeah. So it just turns out I didn't have to choose singer or drummer, but I thought I did. But once I let that go, then the universe just kind of took care of it.
Did Ace do Peter songs?
We did one song called Strange Ways, which was
Hotter
Than Hell.
I know that one. Hotter Than Hell is my favorite record by then.
So that one, as a kid, I was confused because technically, sonically, it doesn't sound that great. But like, I get what they were trying to do.
For me, it does. The one that sounds tiny is Dressed to Kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one is Neil Bogart produced that one, so there's no real vibe on it. But it's like, technically, it sounds good, quote unquote. But as I get older, Hotter Than Hell is the shit, man.
Yeah,
that's the
absolutely.
One.
To me, Dressed to Kill is like MC5 Back in the USA, that thing that, you know, God.
Yes.
Production can, like, maybe not save an album, but can definitely ruin a record. Here, I want to play Rolling Stones.
Hell yeah.
This. You know, usually when you find a mask like that, you have to go shopping for it. Some exotic places. Jeff likes to go shopping on the moon. Jeff, why don't you tell us about your adventures shopping on the moon? Let's go!
Shopping on the moon. If I go to see, if I gorgeous little thing. Thank you.
off from Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with Ace Frehley, Lita Ford, and of course, Brother Matt on the drums there. Jumpin' Jack Flash, Stones. The spike right through my head. I remember being a kid. And, what was it? Get Your Yayas, right? Charlie's got the fucking donkey and the.
Right. Yeah.
An interesting t-shirt. Have a Nice Life after that with Earth Mover, then Abusements with Rat, Shopping on the Moon from Babes New York City. What a name for a band, Babes New York City. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Ace Frehley with Bruce Kulick. Oh, this is the cancer got this cat, right?
No. He's alive and well. I just saw him.
Okay. That's why he's a drummer. But they did lose. Was he the weasel or?
No, so Eric Carr, who
that's
was the drummer.
That's yes.
He. But I just saw Bruce actually like less 2 weeks ago playing with Grand Funk. So okay. Bruce is good.
Okay.
Yeah,
Bruce
is good.
I'm sorry, my memory's some. That, well, the good thing about Alzheimer's, you always meet new people, hearing new songs. You know,
but this again and again.
Yeah, this is a Jimmy tune, right? Manic, great tune.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love Jimmy. I remember the great quote from Jimmy, right? Talking about Mitch Mitchell. He's my Elvin Jones.
That's what I always felt. I always felt that, yeah. That relationship was like Coltrane and Elvin, totally. Yeah,
fucking bitch. So, okay. You get this. What was there an ad for Ace or something?
No, his drummer quit and put a press release out, as people do nowadays. And it was like, hey, man, his drummer just quit. And so I was like, oh, shit, that's okay, yeah. And I just went through my phone and just called everyone I knew and said, hey, do you know anyone in Ace's band? And a buddy of mine, Brent Woods, Brent plays with Sebastian Bach now, but Brent goes, yeah, I know it's his bass player, Anthony. He goes, you'd be great. Yeah, he goes, I'll call him. So that was it. We had a chat. I flew out to New York, auditioned, and had a few other guys, I think, that came down. And then, got the call a couple weeks later. Okay, you got it. And then he sends me the set list, and it's just all Ace and Kiss songs, which is like, I'm like, I'm getting paid to do this shit? Like, this is what I was doing in my room when I was, 12 years old. So I texted the set list to my buddy Jürgen Carlson. He plays bass with Government Mule, huge Kiss fan. And he knew I got the gig. And so I text, I go, hey, here's the set list. And he just writes back, fuck you.
I got to do a couple, was a medley, a Creedence medley with Warren and Matt.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, they were using a bunch of, they just lost, what was his name, Mr. Woody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so they did a record with all these different bass guys, and I got to be one of them. And he comes, Warren has some helper man bring in all six Creedence records.
No.
Yeah, fuck Mardi Gras, but the other six, and, which one do you want, Watt? And, I see something like up around the bit. No, let's do Ramble Tamble, and we'll mix it with F. And I said, what, maybe Effigy? He said, yeah, Effigy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man, we're at the end of the second hour. August 13, 2021, edition Watt Peters Show, special guest Matt Starr. Hold tight for half three. August 13, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt Peters Show.
Somebody right here tonight.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off the third hour. Something that Matt flowed me called Black Swan. Johnny K. Marchin. Then I took your name. That's the name of this Dutch band. Okay. And the tune is Human. And then Ron Cap Dui Collective out of Vietnam with Images. Kalibos from Irvin, Texas. Elogia. And then finally Black Swan again with Big Disaster. Hip us to Black Swan for the man.
Yeah, sure. So that's a band came together a couple of years ago. Jeff Pilsen, who Jeff was originally with Doc, and now he's a band with Foreigner for many, many years. Red Beach is with Winger and also now with Whitesnake too. And then Robin McCauley, who sang with Survivor, sang with Michael Schenker. And so this is something that they had put together, and I got a call from Jeff a couple of years ago. He's like, hey, we got this thing. Wonder if you want to play drums. And I said, you know, on paper, yeah, of course. You know, and then he started sending me the demos, and it just was great. And you know how it is. It's like you could get guys that are all good players, and it's going to at least be good, quote unquote, because everybody's good. But, like, if it's going to actually have a thing, you can never tell.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fucking great. This is really good. And the what for me, what really made it, the composition is great and everybody's playing is great. But Robin can hit that high stuff, but he's kind of like a heavy metal Paul Rogers. Like, it just sounds like he's just effortless, you know?
Yeah.
And so he gave it a real nice, I thought, a unique thing for that genre. And then when we laid the drums on it, just really, like, kicked up another notch and everyone got really excited. So, yeah, we put it out. And then, like, pre-COVID, we were, you know, getting calls from management, some bigger bands that wanted to bring us out on the road, and then COVID just put the kibosh. So we'll see. We've never done a gig together. We'd have to do a lot of learning because I'm sure we all forgot these songs. But it's cool, man. I'm in the process of doing a second record for them right now.
You know, you being a drummer, man, what's your idea? What's your take on music and genre?
As far as, like, all the different genres and subgenres and things and things?
Well, like, maybe some people embrace it. Some people have to just put up with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I mean, what I'm trying to ask you, Brother Matt, is music at some level?
Yeah, well, that's the bottom line. I think, you know, as a hired guy, I don't have to deal with that as much. But as an artist, yeah, it's hard because they put that label on you. And then, like, you know, you're trying to shake it. I mean, I produce a lot of bands, and sometimes I'll say, oh, this reminds me of something. But, like, sometimes I don't say that, because if they don't like that thing it reminds me of, they're going to be fucking bummed out. You know, and I might say, like, hey, the way you structured that chorus where you did the title and then you came back around and then you did this, it reminds me of an ABBA tune. Now, that's a compliment. Yeah. But, like, to some people, that is not a compliment.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know.
You're in the shit house. But,
yeah, I mean, I think, to me, if it's got a distorted guitar, I call it rock and roll.
Okay.
That just keeps it real easy. So it's like, if it's heavy metal or, you know, Eddie Cochran, it's like, it's all rock and roll. Let's just keep it in that zone.
But you know, it's trippy. Rock and roll is actually piano music at the beginning.
Right, right.
Guitar's easier to carry around, though.
Much easier. Yeah. And you know what I want to know, too, and I've had conversations with guys. I mean, for me, I don't know what's your, like, my favorite track of all time. So not necessarily song, because I think song would probably be my baby. But, like, track is Rock Around the Clock.
Yeah, great song.
You know, like, just a great track. But, like, where did it go from dun 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 to dun 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 dun? Like, you know, Earl Palmer's involved in that.
I was
going to
just say Earl Palmer. He invents the rock and roll kick drum, because drummers used kick drums as bombs before that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think it's because they had to do gigs where they couldn't carry a bass man, and he had to double up. Elvis, okay. Bill Black had to do the same with the bass stand-up, because they couldn't carry a drummer.
So he's smacking, get that click going on.
Right. I think it came out of necessity, out of pragmatism.
Wow.
Because rock and roll is really a mule. It's a mixture of so much stuff. And that's mm-hmm. what kept it living and what keeps
yeah.
it living. Yeah, you gave me some stuff from a bass man from Buffalo, Mr. Sheehan.
but the fans were screaming, so I couldn't refuse. Record company said to us, thank you, man. Then they threw us right into the garbage can. But the good people listened and they pulled us through. I was number one.
Thank you. Everybody take a deep breath. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, sing the blues with me. Come on.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I don't want to Whitney Houston this whole fucking gig out right now, so I'm just going to say, this is how it all
Pedro show last music for this edition. Started off that chunk, Mr. Big, 1992. Lucas Abella from Sydney, Australia, after that with N is for neurogenic ulcer. Overall.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like a cartoon. Derek Moneypenny, Lazy Rips, and then another Mr. Big tune. This is live. Price You Gotta Pay. Now, I was doing a gig in Buffalo, and a cat comes to a sound check. With a preamp, this Billy, maybe Pierce was the company, I can't remember exactly, but
yep,
this is
Pierce.
What, okay, then I am right. Billy, Sheehan uses this preamp, Mike White, and why don't you try it out here at Soundcheck? And so I blew it up, and not on purpose. I felt so fucking bad about that. But that's, I told you it was a little story there, brother man. So tell me you connect with Mr. Big.
So that was, well, I realized, you know, I've had guys that ask me, like, you know, how'd you get this gig? How'd you get that gig? Almost all of my things have come from doing jams. Just either that or, like, events where everybody's getting together. I mean, look, that's where you and I connected.
Absolutely.
And, which I'm so grateful for.
Absolutely.
So I was doing a jam in Hollywood, and this guy goes, hey, bring up Matt Starr. And he's like, hey, he knew I sang, too. He goes, can you sing, too? Because I'm... my voice is getting tired. And I said, all right, sure. So we did TNT by AC/DC, and I walked off stage, and Billy Sheehan was there, and he walked up. He goes, hey, he goes, how come I never heard of you before? I said, well, I don't know. And he goes, he said, you're great. And he goes, I want to get your number. I don't want to lose you. He goes, as soon as you hit the snare one time, he goes, I just knew, you know. So so anyway, that was kind of the start of that thing. And then
you were playing drums and singing at the same time?
Yes.
You were doing Don Henley.
I ended up, because I had surrendered to it by then.
All right.
Yeah. I'd let all the
vanity go. And now, how is it? On a physical level, is it? Because, like, it's hard with the bass to do that shit. I just have to beat it into me by prack, prack, prack.
I find the snare hand has to, you know, get compromised a little bit, because you got to just put the stand somewhere, unless you wear a headset, but that just looks awful, so I can't do that. So but I find sometimes I can sing things more effortlessly because I'm not so focused on my singing. You know what I mean? I just, the breath is really important, and I just kind of got to physically stay centered, and so I can breathe right. So it's not that challenging to do for some reason. I guess maybe because drums are so rhythmic that it's kind of like it's just another independence, you know.
Okay, then let me ask you this question. You know, the bass man for Ace Frehley, and then playing with Mr. Sheehan.
Yeah. Well, Billy's a whole other game.
So
you're talking about like the relationship between Elvin and Coltrane. You know, like they would kind of dance around each other, like two butterflies kind of swirling around. So, but for me, where I came from, it was like I'd listen for the space in between the notes as much as the notes. So I'm like looking to just drill this thing. But Billy is very much like that more kind of improvisational approach where you just lay it down the middle and he'll dance around you and then you might jump on something he's doing. But for like the first 2 weeks, I couldn't get him right in my wedge because I'm thinking it's like 100 hertz, 120. And it's like, no, man, I needed like 2K, you know, like where the fingers are so I could hear the articulation because there was so much going on. And once I got that, I got it. But I'll tell you, like the second time I played with him, you know, playing in Japan, 10,000 people, whatever, you know, I'm a great show. Okay, great, cool. He goes, yeah, and you did something, you know, on this song here. You did a little ghost note in the second verse. I really like that. And I think, holy shit, he hears fucking everything.
That's
my
gig. You think he's going crazy on stage, which he is, but at the same time, he's hearing every fucking note.
Everything.
That's a trip. That's why these cats are in the game for so long, you know.
Right.
Look, where can people find you on the internet?
Easy enough. Everything on either Facebook or Instagram is just Matt Star Music. So just look that up.
But there's no Matt Star website.
And then there is a Matt Star website. So it's just MattStarMusic.com.
And we got to tell people how it's spelled because it's special.
Yeah, so two T's, two R's. MattStarr.
And what's your next plan?
Next thing is going out with Ace Frehley. We're opening up for Alice Cooper, doing 5 weeks in the U.S. starting in the middle of September.
Okay. And I think you got a recording thing you got to finish up. Is that going to get done before?
It is. So I'll do a little bit with Ace. We won't get the record done before we split. But then I got to do that second Black Swan record at the beginning of September. And then, we'll head out.
What about that Spacey trip that you got going with Alex Kane and myself?
Yeah, oh yeah, and then I got to do movements 2, 3, and 4, which I'm doing in that whole thing too. And I want to say, I told you this before, but I'm grateful to know you, then I get to play with you, and now we get to chat. This is just all a pleasure.
Beautiful, brother, man. People, it's been August 13, 2021, just watch Pedro Shakir, your powder drive.